Our topic chosen today is another one of those that's very precious to me. It's the idea of planning to go to heaven. Planning for heavenly things was a real theme that Jesus taught to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. When he told him he must be born again of water and the Spirit, Nicodemus asked a question that many of the Jewish people surrounding Jesus at that day and time would have been asking as well. Lord, how can I be born when I'm old? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus noted to him that his birth was to be a spiritual birth, that it was to be that spiritual way of understanding the call of God and obedience to the Lord. Everybody until the days of John Calvin taught that that was the time when one is baptized into Christ, that he goes into this water knowing that the water itself is the place of obedience, but it's not the means. It is by way of the Lord blessing us as we obey him, being washed not by this water, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we begin this new walk of life. When Calvin came along and noted the idea that we're saved alone by faith, and the ideas that he said works do not have a thing to do with us, he tied in the idea that baptism was a work. And as a result of being a work, he found himself saying that that's not something that's said to save us. And thus he made a change in regard to John chapter 3 and Jesus' statement. However, he left alone the statement made in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now, S-A-V-E, save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh in as you're washing in water, but the answer of a good conscience before God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That spiritual look at one's baptism in the sense of being baptized in water and the spiritual side of the blood of Christ applied to our inner man and making us brand new in God's sight is why Peter would say in 1 Peter 3:21, it is the like figure whereof even baptism doth also now save us. And thus there was a conflict. If you could be saved by faith alone there in John 3, then how is it that you're to be faithful and obedient to the Lord in 1 Peter 3? And of course, the conflicts there are satisfied in the examples. For every one of the examples in the book of Acts of the Apostles tells us that each one was commanded to be baptized. It's not stated outrightly that every one of them believed, but they did. We know they believe because without faith it's impossible to please God, according to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And in reference to that matter, we find ourselves not ever pleasing God with anything if we do not have faith to begin with. But that faith was to be an action of repentance of sin, confessing the Lord, being baptized into Christ. And as a result, they began that new way of life. Now, my lesson today is not regarding baptism per se, but it's to say that when Jesus had finished the statement made there in John chapter 5 to Nicodemus, you must be born again, born of the water and the Spirit, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. There were others standing about, and they were discussing this matter and said, how do we understand this? What is this that we can understand? And Jesus explained to them, he said, no man has ascended into heaven at any time. But he that came down from heaven, from the Father. And he said, in regard to this, if I have taught you these material things of life, how is it that you do not find yourself understanding the heavenly things of life? How is it that we miss the spiritual in everything that we are around? We get so caught up in money, and we look at money and the value of money and the benefits of money in our lives, never once thinking in regard to God's blessing us with having the wherewithal to think about and to be a part of those funds. We're to be people who think spiritually about that. It is a proof of our love when we make a contribution back to the work of the Lord. A proof of our love when that contribution is given. It's a heavenly thing that we're supposed to do. When we find ourselves looking at God's way, we talk about death itself and how that death is something that stops us in our earthly life. James says, regarding this in James 2, and verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith, if it hath not works. The type of works he was talking about were not the works of personal righteousness, which are said categorically not to save us, according to Titus 3, and verses 1 and 2. We find ourselves following the way of the devil. The way of the devil does not save, according to Jesus' own words in John chapter 8. You're your father the devil, and the works of the devil you will do. He was a liar and murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, even so do you. We do not want to do the works of the devil in our lives, just like we don't want to depend upon the works of goodness in our lives. But if we will do the work of God in our lives, we'll be blessed. Jesus said there in John 6 and 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. When we have a faith in the Lord, we have a work to do. But what kind of work is it? Not a work that we do for ourselves to merit. It's not a work of the Satan in its ways of life. It's certainly not a work of the old law, as we read Galatians 5, verse 4, that if we try to be justified by the works of the law, we're fallen from grace. But it's a work of God's grace in our lives. It's a work of blessings in our lives. And we find ourselves blessed of the Lord because we have that faith in him. John 6 and read verse 29. We've got to explain that there's the work that does save us. When three works do not save us, there is that fourth one that does. And Jesus said, this is what will save you. This is what will reward you if you think spiritually about it. If we live in that faith, we will live in that great hope. When Paul wrote to Timothy about how to live in 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 12, he said, be thou an example to the believer in word and in conversation. And he mentions the following in this regard. In faith. What do we have? Well, we find a way in which we live by believing that God is seeing us and believing that God goes with us and believing we're not alone here as we make a visit, as we serve somebody, as we go to work, as we go to worship. We're not alone here in this building this morning. The fact of the matter is where Jesus plainly noted to you and me that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of them. The Lord himself spiritually wants us to look at heavenly gains as we do anything in this life. And when there is, as I mentioned, the subject of death, the idea of a stoppage of this life, but we go on and on. For look what is noted in 2 Corinthians, beginning in the part of chapter 4, on into chapter 5. He says, in this we do earnestly groan, desiring to be clothed on with our building, which is from God. What do we do in this earthly life? Well, we have pains as we grow older. We have joints that don't cooperate and remind us that they were strained or stressed a little while back yonder in the earlier days or early part of the week. We find ourselves looking at our lives in this same way, and in this we do earnestly groan. We're not trying to blame God for it. We thank him for the strength of it, and we thank the Tylenol company for the ability to go on without too many pains and troubles to go with it, and we thank the ideas of the Lord to be right here. But now, what we have here, we have a physical way of life, but we know that it's not all just doing things physically. There is a great reward that God has blessed us with, a great hope of going with us as we live in this earthly life. And thus he describes this. He says, we know we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done while in the body, according that we have done, whether it be good or evil. When we find ourselves doing good things and being good people, helpful people, telling the truth, telling the right things, being godly in our ways, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, as we bow before the blood of Christ and bow before the body of Christ. We bow before Him in the songs that we sing, the praise that we give to the Lord, and encouraging words that we sing one to another. There's a spiritual walk in every way of life that God wanted people to be aware of. As a result of living that spiritual and good and godly way, we're headed toward heaven. Scarcely had Jesus begun, and not that He closed, but in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, He mentions 2 or 3 times the idea of where our reward really is. In Matthew chapter 5, after saying to them, "Blessed are those that are hungry and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled," and so forth, He said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and men shall persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Scarcely had Jesus begun that Sermon on the Mount, but He says, "Listen, when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, you rejoice for it. You don't poke fun at them and mock them and say, you can't hurt me at all. The idea is you can take my earthly life, but I still in my heart of hearts will praise and thank God for the privilege I had to represent Him." When He says that, the Father, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For even so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." They're acting just like, in their persecution of you, those faithful prophets back yonder. And they were persecuted too, but their word of God was true. It came true. It came to life. It came to fulfillment. And wonderful it is that Jesus came and fulfilled what the prophet said, and He taught the message that God told Him to teach. And wonderful it is when you read in Isaiah chapter 11, how the blessings of this Savior were going to be rewarded, to be told to people and taught to people as Jesus came to this earth and lived here on this earth. When you and I drive down the road, we find ourselves thinking that we've got open roads and the old song comes to mind. It's about the way of the Chevrolet and everything on the roads. Here we go. And we get to thinking, I'm here alone in the universe. I'm here enjoying this. I'm headed down this road. But what's all around us? The air we breathe. Who gave us that? What's all around us? The strength we have to maneuver the wheel and put our brakes on and put the accelerator down and go forward. Who gave us that energy of our body? Oh, we ate the food, all right, but who changed that food into the righteous energy for us to be able to do the things that we do? Can I not stop and give credit to God for the trees that are around me? We studied in fourth grade science class about those leaves, how their green chlorophyll that's there is made possible because we all breathe out carbon dioxide, and we get back oxygen, breath. So some of us sing as we go along the highway in a car, and we expand more carbon dioxide to get out to the trees, to the leaves, the trees. We enjoy living from day to day. Who gave us that possibility of life? You know, in the science laboratories, men can put together all the elements that make up our human body. All the calcium necessary to make up our bones, all the various proteins necessary to make up our muscles. We can have those tissues and those things to be available. It may be in our lifetime that there are people who can do transplants with those things that are made in the laboratory and help people who have a weak heart, or weak lungs, or weak kidneys in our day and time. May be the case. But whether it is or is not the case, it is the fact that we have that, but no one can make those elements live until they take living tissue that corresponds to the kidneys, living tissue that corresponds to the lungs, living tissue that corresponds to the calcium of the bones, and put it with that substance. Otherwise, that substance is molded and fixed into form, and it looks just like what we would have as a regular body part, but it doesn't live. Now, you go back to the Frankenstein movie, you can shoot all of the electricity at it that you want, and all the fire, and things come out of it and everything, and it still won't live. But one element of cell that's living brings life to that substance. Yes, I'm saying this morning that what we think about is important to God, for we give Him great credit for life. And as we find ourselves going over to life's other side, we find this hope of the soul. For we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. When your spiritual person and my spiritual person meets up with Him on life's other side, our body left behind goes back to the dust from which we were earlier made, but the spirit back to God who gave it. Our accountability toward Him will be explained. Will it be that we were praising Him and saluting Him and enjoying Him and so glad now to see Him face to face, and to know that all the time He made possible our breathing, our life, our energy level, everything about us has been made possible by God, and we gave Him credit for it. Even the way that we lived and we acted, we have the peace of God that lives within us, by which, Colossians 3:15, we umpired our daily walk of life by that peace. We umpired the words we say to bring about more peace. We umpired the things that we do to bring about more peace and joy. And we thank God for the privilege and all when we see Him on life's other side. Well, as we think about this today, I hope it's been a blessing to you to think about this topic. This can be heard by your friends and mine by way of the internet site later this afternoon. It will be placed on the internet site. It'll be there available to anybody to say, listen to a roundabout sermon of heaven and heaven things. For it was Jesus Himself who said at the time of Nicodemus, unless you're born again of water and spirit, cannot enter the kingdom. What a blessing it'll be.